Finance ministers from the group of 20 leading economies say they hope to agree on a global minimum corporate tax by the middle of the year. The call, supported by the International Monetary Fund, comes after Washington made the case for an international base rate, signalling an end to US resistance to international tax reforms. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she's seeking international cooperation for Washington's approach, which could pave the way for a landmark agreement on global tax changes.
We're working with G20 nations to agree to a global minimum corporate tax rate to make sure the global economy thrives based on a more level playing field.
That's US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen there. Jeffrey Sachs is one of the world's leading economists and the director of the Center for Sustainable Development at Columbia University. He's in New York City this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What exactly is a global minimum tax rate? How would it work?
Right now, the corporate tax system is a scam, almost a game, because companies shift their real profits into low tax or zero tax havens, and they do that with impunity. And under the Trump administration, it was the favored game, not only by the companies, but by the government itself. We have a very corrupt political system where the companies pay campaign contributions and they get the tax code written the way they want, and they get our IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, standing down and not even auditing the grotesque abuses. Well, fortunately, the Biden administration wants something different, and it's really beneficial for the whole world. We need all of the economies of the world to properly tax companies, where so much of the world output is now accruing as income to the richest people. And I'm just grateful that Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, has taken up the cause, because it's vital not only for the U.S. economy, which is bleeding deficit and has had a collapse of corporate revenues, but it's vital for poor countries also, which need to tax companies so that these poor countries can provide public services.
But what are we talking about specifically? I mean, she's talking about putting this to the G20. That's obviously not the entire global community. You're still presumably going to have tax havens or low corporate tax jurisdictions. How in practice would you do something like this?
Well, it's a good question that you're asking, how to close all the loopholes. But the fact of the matter is that most of the tax havens are actually under the jurisdiction of the major countries. This is not some renegade poor country running off with the corporate income. This is a game of New York and London lawyers, and it's a game of the politicians for a long time. So where is a huge proportion of American multinational company income booked? In the British Virgin Islands, in Bermuda, in the Bahamas. In other words, in the British jurisdictions, where it's safe by a game between that special relationship between the U.S. and the U.K., a special relationship that basically defrauds taxpayers of both countries and of the whole world. And it's really time for this to stop.
Okay, but how do you do it? I mean, I'm thinking back to, I reckon it must have been about 2008 and the G20 summit being held in the UK, Gordon Brown talking much the same language that you are right now. I just wonder what the US is proposing that is different. How does the US getting engaged on this, Janet Yellen proposing a global corporate minimum tax, change the game?
It changes the game because the U.S. is a key player that has stopped reforms repeatedly. It has stopped reforms in this area. It has stopped reforms of digital taxation because the U.S. has been at the center of the international financial system, the center of the payment system. The U.S. is the one that knows where all the transactions go through the so-called SWIFT accounts that track the bank transfers. So this is a choice, not something that is beyond policy reach. And what's happened in the U.S. is that the corporate income tax, which used to collect 4% of national income, is now collecting a measly 1% of national income. At the same time, the stock prices have soared. The wealth of the richest people in the U.S., who are also the richest people in the world, have increased beyond our comprehension. 500 wealthy people now have $2 trillion more of net worth than they had at the start of this pandemic. That's just 500 people in the world. That's because of the stock valuations. And that's in part, not only, but in part because these companies do not pay what they ought to be paying. And we had 55 major corporations in the United States that were profitable, that paid zero tax last year. So it's a game. And the game really is hurting a lot of people. And that's what the Treasury Secretary of the U.S. is aiming to stop. And I really applaud it. And it can happen, because if the U.S. and the U.K. and Europe, China, Japan cooperate on this, I don't think the little islands are going to be able to confidently book a lot of money that is going to be not looked at askance by the tax authorities of these countries.
The U.S., though, seems to be talking about a global minimum of 21%. Why do we hit that mark? It's well above what previous discussions about this sort of thing had pegged it at.
Well, we've been in a race to the bottom. It used to be normal that the corporate tax rate would be 50% or higher. Then it started to come down. The U.S. led the way. Reagan led corporate tax cuts through his administration, came down to 35, then to 28, then to 21. So it rather resets our thermostat of what's normal. And it is not normal that 21% is seen as an exorbitantly high minimum tax rate, especially given what's happened to income distribution, which more and more is going to corporate profits and less to wages. So given that technology is pushing national output and income into the hands of the corporate sector, into the hands of the digital portals, into the hands of those who hold monopoly patent rights and so forth, we need to collect some of those taxes back if we're going to provide public services.
How do you convince countries like Ireland and the Netherlands, which have, you know, I think they're among the examples you're probably talking about of jurisdictions that have been in this race to the bottom? I think Britain has said that post-Brexit, its intention is to make itself more attractive globally. How do you convince them to do this?
You say, are you kidding? Aren't you rich enough? This is what we need to say to Switzerland now. This is what we need to say to the Netherlands, which has been part of these corporate shenanigans for years. The Dutch
we're not in a utopia. What do you actually say to convince them?
What we say is that we're getting serious, because the world, by being unserious, has left ourselves exposed to profound harm. So it's not a matter of being utopian. It's a matter of looking this bad behavior in the eye and saying it's enough. Fortunately, Ireland is going to be just fine if corporate taxes rise all over the world and Ireland's corporate tax rises along with that. The Netherlands is, as far as I know, visiting many times a year, one of the richest places in the whole world, and it does not depend on being a party to these tax games. Switzerland, similarly, it's hard to think of a more prosperous place on the planet. Switzerland doesn't have to live on being a tax haven. So these are really basic points at this point. We just have to get serious after a long time, as you rightly say, of not being serious. The only ones that suffer are the little people who don't get to play these games, don't get to transfer their wealth to the Cayman Islands or the British Virgin Islands, don't get to laugh all the way to the bank. But frankly, the world has to be run for those people. That's most of humanity.
Jeffrey Sachs, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll leave you to your stroll in New York City. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
That's The Economist, Jeffrey Sachs.